Welcome to the Bridge Church podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
My name is Daniel Kasnave, and I'm the lead pastor here at the Bridge Church. And if you're joining us for the first time, we are so glad you were here. We have a little connect card right there inside of our worship guides. If you'd like to fill that out, we don't want to hassle you. We just want to help you stay connected. And so we send out a weekly email. We put on Facebook Blast, Instagram, those different things to help you feel connected. Because our heart is we want to connect you, one, to Jesus, but also to a church faith family. Because we believe we're better together. And so today, this is a pretty incredible Sunday because, one, we have baptism celebration. Isn't that awesome? People taking steps of faith and going public with their faith and baptism. We also are going to eat some food, right? Like, that can't go wrong there. And then we're starting a brand new series today called Take Heart, because I believe that during this season, and there's a lot of seasons in life when life can just be hard, right? Like, things can just happen, things outside of our control, things that are going on with our family, and even just everyday life can start to build up over time. And I believe that there is someone, as Christians, who is in us, who is greater than he who is in the world. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks just diving in and how we can experience the creator of the universe and the life that he has for us and how he gives us the ability to take heart in each and every circumstance. So I just want to pray for us as we dive in. And Christian, just an incredible prayer. I love the worship team's heart and their heart to worship and just come before God, come before the Father and be connected. So I want to pray for us and then we're going to jump right in. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And God, we praise you for everything that you have done. God, we thank you for the lives that you're already changing. We thank you for the lives that you are continuing to water the seed that is inside of their hearts. God, that maybe we haven't been to church in a while. Maybe we've been coming for all of our lives, God. I pray that you will open our hearts to receive your word and receive your truth, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. I pray that we will be able to walk out of this place knowing that we surrender to you, surrender to your call, God, and we get to experience you in incredible ways. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So the cool thing about 2019, I'm going to state my age here, so either where you are on the spectrum, either I'm really young or I'm getting a little older. I graduated college about 10 years ago. So 2019, college about 10 years ago. You're probably like, you look like you graduated college yesterday. That's okay. It's baby face. And it's just a cool moment for me. But when I was in college, I had this wild idea, this crazy idea in college. We all make good decisions, right? I had this wild idea to get a hamster, okay? Now, do not ask me where this thought came from, ADD brain, something like that. But something in me was like, yes, I want to get a hamster. Like, this is going to be the greatest idea ever, right? And so we go to the store, you get all the stuff you need, and some of the parents are laughing because you've gotten your kids hamsters, and you know how the store's going to go. You get the hamster, you get everything ready, and you're like, look at all these attachments we can get. We can make this thing go all through the house, under the bed. It's going to be the greatest college year of our lives because of this hamster. And so we get it all home, and you know, I'm showing like my roommates, I'm like, look at this hamster, guys, it's gonna be awesome. And I thought of the greatest name ever, Fester. I don't even know where I got that from, but I just looked at this hamster. He looked like a Fester. To be honest with you, I don't even know if he's a he. But I looked at him, I said, you're a he, and your name is Fester, and this is gonna be awesome. And the first night, okay, we know this about hamsters, right? Like, everybody in here knows that hamsters sleep during the day and are wide open at night. And so about 2 a.m., Fester wakes up, and I just picture him like stretching, like, oh, it's time for a mad workout, right? And he goes onto his hamster wheel and goes about Mach 90 on that thing, just, and all you hear is, and just like almost a tornado thing sound going on inside of our room. And I'm like, what is happening right now? My neighbors, my roommates are coming and knocking on the door like, can you please turn that thing off? I'm like, it's Fester. He's getting the workout on. I don't know, right? And so then I got him, but finally I was like, we can't take this anymore. I got to get him out of this workout mode. And maybe if we put him in like this ball, hamster ball, you see that where they roll around the floor? I'm like, maybe it'll be at least quieter. And so we put him in that, and I would put him in there at night, and all of a sudden you hear it across the floor like, and then he hit the bed or something like, and so that's all you hear on like, and then every once in a while, I'll be like, hey guys, have you seen Fester? They're like, no, I hadn't seen him since like yesterday. And then all of a sudden, you'll hear it all of a sudden out of the back of the corner of one of the rooms, he'll come out like 2 days later, like, man, you need to get in here to eat. But Fester for us in college was an experience, okay? And he lived, it seemed like a long time for a hamster. And I was like, come on, Fester, what is happening? But I remember waking up and hearing that Mach 90 just spinning on that wheel, spinning on that wheel, spinning on that wheel. And even in that ball, he can work out all day long. But at the end of the day, he never leaves in my college room apartment, right? Like, he was always there, and he could go Mach 3. I don't even know, like, I'm not like a airplane guy, whatever, Mach 300, Mach 90, but Mach 300 and still be in the same place, exerting all of that energy, and he can feel like, yes, this is what I've got. And I want to talk a little bit today and kick off our series and talk about control. Does anybody in here feel like, hey, I like to control things in my life? Like, I like to control things. That's me. Especially in the area that is in front of me that I want to achieve in. Like, I want to control everything to be better at whatever I am doing. But the problem with control is sometimes we get to the end of it and we've exerted all of this energy. We've given everything that we've got, our mental capacity, our heart, our anxiety, all these worries that we just want it to go right. And if I control it, if I do it hard enough, and if this is right in front of me, and I can just make it happen, it will happen. And at the end of the day, we stop and we go, oh, I feel like I haven't gotten anywhere. You ever felt like that before? I felt like I've been working and working. I've been going Mach 90, and yet I still feel like I'm in the same place right now. And control will do that to us. Control will begin to take over our mind, take over our heart, take over our desires. And we think about the motive of control, the motive of our heart, and it can be motivated by a lot of different things. It could be motivated by, I want the approval of everyone around me, and if I do better, they will think that I'm better, and they will like me more. It could be, hey, I'm motivated to, I want to chase just the most money I could get, whatever it is. Like, I just want to continue to chase that and take the next step closer, closer, closer. It could be, hey, I want to give my kids more than what I had, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God is saying that maybe I have something that in the midst of all of that, that you can experience something where you can still feel like God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you can still see him do incredible things, but yet you can have it with peace. Yet you can have it with rest. Yeah, you can have this experience with God, and you can take heart in those trials, in those moments of where I just feel exhausted. And you can make it through those, through what God has for us. And so when we look at this idea of control, there's this story in the Bible. We're going to be in the Old Testament today, and then a little bit in the New Testament, okay? So we're going to go Old Testament first, and we're going to be looking at this prophet named Ezekiel. And it's in the Old Testament. If you want to look even in the table of contents, look through there, find Ezekiel. That's cool. I flip through and use the table of contents all the time and just find Ezekiel. But also, we're going to put it on the screens for you as well. And as you can see, we have light up Bibles these days, right? Pull your iPad or your phones out. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel chapter 36. And to set this up, we're going to be here, because sometimes when we look at the Old Testament, we look at it and say, do those stories really still apply? Are they still really relevant to me today? And I believe the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Maps, is still relevant, and God can use it to show us a way of life and to show us freedom and show us hope. And so we look back in the Old Testament, and God had this special relationship relationship with the Israelites, with these Jewish people that they were called his chosen people. And he would speak to them through prophets. I mean, he would speak to them a few different ways, but one of the primary ways he would communicate to his people is through prophets, that he would communicate a word to this particular person, and then they would communicate it out to his people. And this one prophet, his name was Ezekiel, and he was around mid 500 BC, or maybe even late 500 BC, and he was around the time when the Israelites were taken into captivity by the Palestinian nation. And so they were under captivity, and he would prophesy what was going to happen to them. You see, if you look at Ezekiel, we're in chapter 36, but the beginning of Ezekiel, he had to say some things that were not very popular. He had to go to the Israelites and say, hey, you have turned from God. Like, you have turned to different idols. You have turned from different ways of life that God did not call us to. And you're experiencing some things in your life that God never intended you to experience. Maybe some hurt, maybe some trial, maybe some different things that are going on in your life. And he's saying, hey, you have actually decided that, hey, I know what's best for me. I know who I need to worship. I know what I need to go on. I'm taking control of my life. And the Israelites go, and they're working. And then Ezekiel comes in about chapter 35. It shifts a little bit. And Ezekiel goes, okay, I've shown you what has happened in your life, and now we're going to shift. Because God is going to do something new inside of your life. God is going to do something new for the Israelite people. And he starts to prophesy and speak to this. And this is why I love the Bible. It's because it's almost like God knows what he's doing. Like, he begins to speak this over the Israelite people. And not only is Ezekiel prophesying to the Israelite people, but he is prophesying to us thousands and thousands of years later and saying, not only is it going to apply to the Israelites, but it's going to apply to my people later on down the road. And we're sitting here in 2019 talking about how God can still do what Ezekiel is going to prophesy here in chapter 36. You guys still with me? Amen. All right. So we're going to be in Ezekiel 36. We're going to read verses 24 through 28. If you can follow on the screens, wherever you'd like to. And this is Ezekiel speaking, on behalf of God, what God has said to him. He says, I will take you out of the nations. He's saying, hey, I'm going to take you out of the Babylonian nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart. If you highlight and underline, I want you to highlight this sentence here. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. And so the Israelite people have said, you know what? I'm going to take control. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have a handle on what you want for me in my life. And so the Israelite people go, and they begin to worship different idols, and Ezekiel stops. He goes, I want you to listen. God is going to do something new inside of your heart. In fact, he's going to take you from that, where you are now, and he's going to place you back into the promised land that I have spoken that you're going to walk into. And he says, but I'm going to take your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to take your heart of stone and give you this heart of flesh. And he says, I'm going to speak my spirit into you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. And if we look at this just for a few moments, he says, hey, that we can have a heart of stone. If you read later in Ezekiel, it says that their stubbornness and their willingness to take control and not allow God to control, not allow God to direct in their minds and their hearts and their desires. And it says their stubbornness created them to have this heart of stone towards God. And I can't remember when I had the heart of stone towards God. I can remember when I had the idea for my life. I had everything mapped out. I knew what my next step was going to be. And I remember thinking, why do I even need God? Well, why do I even need it? Why do I need to take those next steps? Like, I need to live in the moment. YOLO, right? Like, I need to live in the moment. I need to live for right now and in those moments. And as God began to draw me in near to him, he began to soften my heart of stone. And when we look at the scripture here, we look in the original language, heart of stone, it coincides, it is a synonym, right? Going back to school, synonym with death, that the heart of stone, it is the same symbology of the heart being dead. And I know that sounds crazy, and you're like, I'm glad I came to church to hear about that, right? But there is this piece of scripture, there's this understanding that we need to know that when we turn from God, that when we turn towards what is called the opposite of God's plan, and it is sin. And when sin enters our life, it turns our heart and our motives and our desires, and it brings upon death in our life. And I want to read this real quick in here in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 15, just to show you what I'm talking about. And I love James. Because James, if you don't know, is the half-brother of Jesus. And if you had to convince anybody that you were the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, who would be the hardest person to convince? Your brother, right? Because they grew up with you, they saw you, they're right there. James, the half-brother of Jesus. He knew this, and he is walking, he's saying, hey, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And he begins to teach. And here in James chapter 1, in his letter, verse 15, it says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And when we think about sin in our life, and sin means we are separate from God. It means we have strayed away from God's plan for our life. And in the moments we may say, well, that's kind of crazy. That's kind of harsh to think about that sin does that inside of our lives. But if we actually were to think back and we think about a moment, maybe we've had unforgiveness in our life before towards another person in that relationship. And that unforgiveness begins to build up into bitterness. And that bitterness begins to build up into resentment. And that resentment begins to build up. And now we're outbursting in anger. And now we're doing all of these things. And we look back and we have seen that relationship fall apart, right? Because the sin gives full birth to death, and inside of us it turns our heart into stone, and it allows us to be separated from God. And God is saying that's what sin will do inside of our lives. And then when we may say, hey, we're just taking that one step, or I can get one step closer, or I can get one step further away from God, I can kind of give in to this one single desire, and God is saying, look, I don't want you to get it, because if you not only take that one step and you allow it to conceive and go all the way, we'll experience this spiritual death that happens inside of our hearts. And God is saying, when you're at that moment in life, you don't experience freedom. In fact, we walk in shame, we walk in guilt, we walk in discouragement. And God is saying, hey, I don't want that for you. I don't want that for your family. I don't want that for your marriage. I don't want that for everything that you're experiencing. I want you to experience a new heart, a living heart, an alive heart, a soul that is thriving to be connected to our Creator. He says, God is saying, hey, I want to prophesy to you that, hey, when you release control to me, I will take your heart of stone. I will take what is inside of you, anything that is dead, anything that is not living, anything that has strayed from me, I will take that and I will breathe life into it. I will give you hope. I will give you freedom. I will give you all of these things for life, and you will experience what the Bible calls in John 10:10, the abundant life in Christ. And he's saying that only through Christ can we experience that. Because only through Christ was the perfect sacrifice. And if you have a chance, and I want to read here just for a few minutes here in Romans chapter 6. Because Romans chapter 6 tells us that when we give sin a foothold, when we allow sin to run rampant in our lives, or when we choose that, or when we choose to say, I can control this, I can move forward, I allow that to happen, that when it conceives, it gives full birth to death, but we have to release the control of what God has called us to. But if we release control of that, what are we moving towards? What desires should we change? And I can remember in my life when I first got saved. And I was just finishing high school, And God had been working inside of my life. God had been working inside of my heart. And I remember giving my life to Christ. And I was in a parking lot, and I called my mama, right? Like, I just one of those days, you got to call your mama, right? But I remember I was in a parking lot. I gave my life to Christ. And then I still went. God didn't remove me from the environment that I was in right off the bat. So I went right back into the same environment that I was in. But I was changed. My heart, he took my heart of stone and he gave me a heart of flesh. And so when I walked into that environment and they were doing the same things, we were partying, we were doing all these different things. And when I walked into that moment, and I remember the first time I walked in sin when I was saved. And I don't know if you remember that, but I remember walking the first time, I was like, oh, what's going on with me, right? Like God, this is like, there's turmoil inside of me. I don't know if you remember that experience. And sometimes we'll cut up and we'll laugh and we'll say, one of the ways that we know we are saved is when the Holy Spirit convicts us and says, hey, no, there's a better way. And look, you may have sinned right now in this moment, but hey, I'm convicting you not to condemn you, but you're already set free, but to say, hey, there is a more righteous way to live. And that conviction begins to well up in our heart. And I was sitting, I couldn't sleep. It was like the Holy Spirit was squeezing me and changing me because he took my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. He put my old desires, they died with Christ, and he put new desires in me, and I didn't even know it. I went right back to the same environment, and God was going, ha-ha, Daniel, I'm changing you. And I went back to that environment. I didn't go and do this like ritualistic prayer. I didn't do all these crazy things. No, the Holy Spirit does the work inside of us. Ezekiel says, I will make you into who I'm calling you to be. And that's a beautiful and incredible thing, that we get to experience that in Christ. And he changed my desires. And slowly but surely, as I release the control of my life, as I release control of my heart and my sin and everything that was wrong, and the more I gave to God, the more he changed me. The more he renewed my mind. The more I felt free. The more then I was so filled up that I became to the point of like, I can't keep all of this in. This is too good.
That God allowed and started putting people into my life. Well, hey, now I want you to share what God has done in your life. Now I want you to feel that experience in your life. And God is saying, hey, it's when you release the control of sin and you all of a sudden pursue the desires that God has for us. And sometimes I'll have conversations with people and go, can we just paint the line of, okay, well, what is sin and what is not sin? Like, how close can I get and still not sin? Like, what is the line? Can we talk about the line? And every time we have that conversation, I'm saying, well, God wants to put something new inside of your heart so you don't have to live every single day going, ooh, did I cross the line? Ooh, did I cross the line today, God? Like walking on eggshells. God is going, no, I want you to walk in confidence. That the right question is not how close to the line or how close to the edge can I get. It is, where is Jesus? Because he has set me free. He has given me a new heart. He has freed me from my shame. He has freed me from my guilt. He has freed me from all of that. He has put a new hope, a new desire in my life. And now my desire is to pursue Jesus. My fixation is Jesus because he has set me free. My obsession is Jesus. And there's something in me which we know is the Holy Spirit that is drawing us near to God, that is allowing us to move closer to him. And he begins to give us a new spirit that gives us the power to overcome sin. He gives us power to overcome those desires and to walk and experience the true freedom that when we face life every single day, we are able to take heart, not because Daniel Kazneev has overcome the world, but as the Bible tells us, that Jesus has overcome the world. We walk in his power, not our power. As we just sang, my flesh may be weak, but your spirit is strong in me. God, I'm releasing control because I don't have the power. You have the control. You have the power. You give me the new desires, the new heart, and the way about me, God, and you control everything about me. And I want to end here in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I love this chapter, Romans 6, 7, and 8. I just love reading these progressions because the Apostle Paul is writing the book of Romans. And as he is teaching, the Apostle Paul, he claims to himself and through the Bible, he says, "In sinners, I was the worst of them all." He said, "I used to pursue and persecute and go after and have Christians killed. Like, I would do that. Yet God changed me. He turned my heart of stone, gave me a fresh vision for my life. He fulfilled me, gave me new desires. I no longer desire that, but I desire to build His kingdom. I desire to have God's plan move inside of my life." And so here in Romans chapter 6, and then I'm going to close, and we're going to go celebrate with baptism, right? Right. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 12. And as we go here, it says, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life." And when we go out and we celebrate baptism, and I remember the day I got baptized, and it was just a symbol of what God has done in my life, that I was dead and now I'm alive. And some of you may have come in and say, "Well, I really don't have like that wow testimony." If you are new in Christ, you were dead in your sin, and now you are alive in Christ. Like, no matter who we are, every single person, we were dead in our sin, but now alive in Christ. All right, that is wow. Like, God has changed us, renewed us, give us a new flesh, a new heart, a new hope inside of our lives here. And then he continues on and says, "So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." That is a powerful statement. That we live under the freedom of God's grace. And Romans 6 gives us the answer of how we live in the freedom of God's grace. And he says that sin is no longer your master. Whoever our master is the one who controls us. And he's saying, my master now is Jesus. He is the one that controls me. And the only way that he becomes our master is through surrender. Is when you and I are willing to say, "You know what, God? I've tried it my way. And now I need to surrender my life to you." Some of the most amazing words that ever hit my ears when I'm talking to somebody is, "I gave my life to Christ." Because when I hear those words, I know the Holy Spirit can do anything through anybody. The impossible becomes possible when we open our hands and release control and say, "God, I surrender everything to you." And I don't know if you know this about me, but sometimes I like to control things. Like, I want things to go right. And if you know me, you would even say, like, I'm like, "Oh, you're an easygoing guy," but I'm an extremely achievement-oriented. And I'm like, I'm more ready to conquer any hill that you put in front of me. But there are times when I want the achievement so bad that I start taking control. And when I start taking control, then comes anxiety, then comes worry. Then comes the comparison trap. Then comes the approval trap. And I know this because God is doing that in me. And every once in a while, I have to step back and go, "Okay, God." And I don't know if you know this, but if you ever plan a church, there's a lot of times you want control. You're ready to go. You're ready to reach as many people as possible because, like the scripture said, that's why planting churches are so strong on our hearts, because people are living with all these hearts of stone. And it's like, you can be set free. And I promise you, when you experience Jesus, you will find hope. You will find truth. You will find freedom. And it is so contagious. It will affect your marriage. It'll affect your life. It'll affect the next generation if you will just surrender to Him. And so there are moments in my life, in these past few weeks, I was trying to take control. There's a lot of things that I want to control. I want to go. And I started to realize, I'm like, "Ooh, where's this anxiety coming from?" Right? Like, where's this happening inside of my life? And this is why it's so powerful to work in Christian community. And as I'm talking with other people, I'm talking with Jamie. She's like, Daniel, it's time to let that go. I'm talking to my sister Christian. She's like, hey, you just got to bring that before God. And all these people, I was like, you're right. And I had to go before God and say, you know what, God, this is yours. You love this town way more than I do. You love every single person way more than I do, God. You are the one that takes control. You are the one that has it. You do your work, God. Your kingdom come on earth, it is in heaven, God. And I am your vessel. Whatever you want to happen, it's yours. And I remember doing that. And this is just a couple weeks ago. And I remember doing that. And I cannot explain to you the peace that has overcome my soul. I cannot explain to you the rest that has overcome my mind and my heart. And when God says, when you release that control and surrender and trust me, you will experience this supernatural peace you cannot get anywhere else on this planet. A drug can't get you that high. Alcohol can't numb the pain that much. The relationship, sex can't give you that kind of high that you can experience through the power of Christ. God is saying, if you will surrender, if you will trust me, you can experience this life and you will be able to take heart and you will be able to press forward because you're not carrying the load. You're putting it at Christ's feet. And so my prayer today is that you would do just that. Is that maybe there's something in your life that as I'm talking, as I'm speaking, you're like, oh, I need to give that to God. And maybe you can look and evaluate and say, what is giving me worry, anxiety? What is keeping me up at night? What is making me sick? Holding on to it. And there are moments, even as a parent, where I got to go, you know what, God? They're yours. I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to invest everything I have in them, God. But at the end of the day, they're yours. God, at the end of the day, my marriage is yours. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do everything I can, God. But you do what only you can do. And that's change lives. But the beginning place is first we have to surrender our heart to God. And when we give our life to Christ, I love that picture so much for salvation. Because a lot of times we can say, I'm inviting God into my heart. But the only way that Christ lives in you is when we surrender to him first. Say, God, I give you my life. And you may say, my life's not worth giving. God will take it. He will restore your life. He will redeem it. All those different things, he will move inside of your life and heart. And he will begin to redeem those moments in your life. But it starts with releasing control. And today is the day that I think you can walk out of here with freedom. And so I'm gonna do two separate prayers. I wanna pray first for, if you've never given your life to Christ before, I want us to pray together. And then we're gonna pray together as a church because there may be something that you need to release, you need to surrender to God. And we're gonna sing a song entitled, I Surrender. And maybe you just need to take those moments and you just sing those to God. Or maybe you need to have a moment before God and say, God, this is what's going on in my life and I surrender to you. It's causing me anxiety. It's causing me worry. I'm trying to control it. I'm trying to hold on so tight, God, and I need to give it to you. And if you've never given your life to Christ before, the Bible says, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And it is through that power, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And you can have that freedom. You can have that eternal life. That's saying, God, here's my heart. Here is my life. I surrender to you. Take it all. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. And if you've never given your life to Christ before, I just want to say this prayer together. There's no special thing over this prayer, but is your surrender to God, your belief in who God is, your belief in that he died on the cross, that, hey, I have this realization, I have this heart that has turned from you, God, I surrender my life to you. My belief in you is what? God then takes that and gives us the free gift of grace. And so if you've never given your life to Christ before, let's say this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know that I have turned away from you. God, I give you my life. God, save me. Set me free. And change me into your image, God. So with every head still bowed, every eye still closed, just real quick, I'm going to count to three. If you prayed that prayer, I just want you to shoot your hand up because it's me and you. I want to be able to pray for you. Just real one, two, three, just shoot your hand up. I want to pray for you. I see you. I want to pray for your life. Anybody else? Anybody else? Today is the day you can surrender your life to Christ. I see you. I want to pray for you directly. And for the rest of us here in this room today, whatever is going on inside of our lives and inside of our hearts, I pray that we will surrender it today. Whatever is causing that worry, I'm praying right now that we would give it to God. I'm going to take about 10 seconds, and I want you just to say, God, take this from me. I release control from it. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much that, one, you would even hear our prayers. God, thank you for seeing us in our brokenness, seeing us in our hurt. And you left heaven and came to this earth because you love us so much. God, I pray that you will take whatever that we're trying to control, whatever is causing anxiety, whatever is causing guilt or hurt in our lives, God, and I pray that we will truly give it to you, that we will surrender. God, I pray for anybody that gave their life to Christ today. God, I pray that you will bind the enemy in their life because we know he is angry, God, and that he does not want them to experience the abundant life in Christ, God. And I just pray that they'll experience this incredible peace today because the Holy Spirit is moving inside of their heart. The Holy Spirit is moving inside of their lives, God. As your word in Ezekiel, you prophesied through Ezekiel that I will be their God. I pray they'd experience that today, God. I pray that you continue to grant us freedom and hope. We can always turn to you, God. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.